All right, folks, if we could kind of circle back here, we got Monkfish and Skates to round out the day, and then a happy send-off for some of our departing members here. Think we have most of our council members as they filter back in. Wow, you guys really quieted down quickly. Thank you. Awesome. Welcome back. Last official agenda item of the day, Monkfish Skates, through the coordinated committee report. As we know, we went out to a bunch of scoping sessions. Well, staff did, and some council members went out to a tour of the coast, get some input. So I will turn it over to Mr. Olszewski to kick us off here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to give the Joint Skate Monkfish AP Committee report. So the Skate and Monkfish PDTs, AP, and committees have not met since the April Council meeting. And as we all remember, the Council disapproved the IFQ scoping document and discontinued the 2026 priority to scope for an IFQ program for Skate and Monkfish. The Council then pivoted and approved a series of public hearings, public meetings to serve as listening sessions to help inform future priorities during April and May. So New England and Mid-Atlantic staff held 5 listening sessions, which varied in attendance, especially it seemed like from north and south management regions. We can talk a little bit more about that later, but there's just a few take-home bullets that I'll hit before Jenny goes into her presentation. So several of the items mentioned during the listening session had been previously discussed or brought forward by the advisors over the years. And many of the comments that we heard, not necessarily under the purview of the council, such as marketing, which was probably one of the major comments that we heard, as well as protected resource concerns. So as a result, the AP and committee meetings that were originally planned for this fall for any prioritization of ideas are likely not to be held, as there were really no different groundbreaking ideas that were brought forward. There was no consensus established across any of the listening sessions on what the council should work on next year. That could change after council discusses a little bit. So I'll check in with Mr. Gates, who chairs the Monkfish Committee, to see if he has anything to add before I turn it over to Ms. Kocher, who will report on the feedback received from the listening sessions. And then I will have a motion following the presentation for the council to consider that we'll need a second. Thank you.
Mr. Gates?
Yeah, no, I'd just like to express my appreciation for, you know, all the fishermen that took the time to come out and to attend a listening session where we didn't have anything on the agenda to talk to them about or anything. They just came out to express their concerns. So I appreciate the time that the folks that did come out spent with us.
Thank you for that. Up to you, Ms. Couture.
Thank you. So, as stated already, you'll just hear a summary of the listening sessions. No action is required. Scott already mentioned this, but just a quick reminder, during your April council meeting, the IFQ scoping were disapproved. We instead pivoted and used those already scheduled meetings for more broader, holistic listening sessions. As you can see on the screen, I just tallied up how many participants attended the listening sessions. You can see pretty clearly the Mid-Atlantic had a lot greater participation than the ones held in Portland and New Bedford. We did have a number of participants in the webinar. There were consistent themes raised across all of the 5 listening sessions, everything from individual fishing quota IFQ, area-specific management, changes in effort controls, market conditions, latent fishing effort, interaction between both of the fisheries, protected resource issues were discussed at length that I'll get into, offshore wind, and some other issues as well. So protected resource measures, there were 2 that came pretty to the top and were pretty repeatedly mentioned throughout, especially the Mid-Atlantic listening sessions. One was the sturgeon action, We heard a lot about sturgeon appear to be rebuilt. There's overall reduction in gillnet fishing effort, and that the gear requirements, particularly off New Jersey, weren't needed. We really need rolling closures when sturgeon are present in the closer to shore. The gear research that was used as underpinning the council action from a couple of years ago is really outdated. The environment has changed, and overall there is sentiment that sturgeon should be removed from the endangered species list. The second protected resource issue that was brought forward was the harbor porpoise measures. A lot of comments on harbor porpoise are really abundant. There were zero observed caught a couple of years ago, and that the closures are no longer effective or needed. And even so much, so far as a couple of people recommended, you should just require observers or pingers instead of the closures, because that would be preferred. In terms of effort control measures, there's pretty mixed opinion on if and how those should be changed, whether status quo or incrementally changed across both fisheries, or just overall substantial changes, maybe consider removing one of the effort controls or both, just to see what happens. But the main issue that folks emphasized was marketing and protected resource issues were the biggest concerns. And then in terms of marketing, is there a role for the councils to play to address those marketing issues? There's an overall decline in fishery participation over time. The fisheries have drastically changed over time too, the environment. Now there's a shift towards what was considered trash fishery is now being targeted, and that would be skates. In terms of market conditions, decline prices, low demand. There used to be bigger demand in South Korea, but due to the aging population there, there's a loss for that market as well. Inconsistent supply. There is mention of more price fixing between the buyers and dealers, so there's no real competition that's created there. And there was a suggestion whether the new USDA Office of Seafood could potentially help play a role, given this seems to be a bit outside the council's purview. And then opportunity to rethink holistically monkfish and skate fishery management plans. Again, there is mixed opinion whether there should be holistic changes, so whether southern monkfish should be managed with skates and then northern monkfish should just be managed separately, or should you combine both fishery management plans? Latent fishing effort, again, mixed opinion on whether that should be addressed or not. Concerns related to reactivation of effort and consolidation. And then for monkfish specific challenges and considerations mentioned, there's one or two people that mentioned monkfish fishery should be defined as really just targeting monkfish instead of more of as part of a mixed fishery in the groundfish fishery. There are several comments related to fishing for monkfish starting later and later in the year. It used to be starting around Halloween. Now it's Thanksgiving, if that. Sometimes it's even closer to mid to end of December. And it's really not worth the effort of catching monkfish because you have to deal with skates and low prices. Some potential solutions or ideas mentioned and preferences: retain joint management with the Mid-Atlantic Council. There were questions related to the IFQ program because that was the original impetus for these listening sessions or the sessions in general. Big consternation related to how, if we were to consider IFQs in the future, what would that look like? Really wanting to avoid excluding anyone and keeping costs low. In terms of monkfish days at sea, there were some suggestions related to charging days at sea based on total landings, allocate based on landings history. So instead of having the same number of days at sea per permit, just based on landings, and then reallocate those days at sea based on overall fishery performance. So someone mentioned every 5 years. Allowing day at sea leasing, additional flexibility for switching from groundfish to monkfish days, and also when fishing on for both groundfish and monkfish. And then for skate-specific challenges, there was mention of overall lack of flexibility in fishing operations, overrun with skates, particularly in southern New England, and the trip limits appear to be constraining for some folks. Minimal changes likely needed for the north, and overall unwillingness to find crew to cut skates. So some potential solutions mentioned overall to have more dynamic management for skates, so allowing for potentially weekly aggregate skate limit or dynamic trip limits. There was some pushback on this, whether this would cause other issues with protected species, or there are a few bad actors, so this might cause an adverse reaction. Try to align some of the regulations that monkfish has, so use of day at sea, ability to declare an overage while at sea. Again, there was some concerns related to matching those regulations with monkfish, specifically related to the double landing limit and if that would just flood the market. A couple of people suggested maybe 1.5 trip limits would be helpful. There were some suggestions related to revisiting skate limited access that had been scoped for actually twice in recent history, and then expanding skate exemption areas. Additional concerns, there was something raised for perhaps a derby fishery would be created if you're incrementally changing how we do effort controls in both of the fisheries. So if you think more holistically and big changes like removing day at sea or trip limits, that might have a negative consequence. And I already mentioned this, the sturgeon gear research is now outdated. The whole fishery and the environment has really changed, so that gear research is no longer relevant, so it might be time to reevaluate those measures. Simplifying the monkfish and skate fishery management plan, so maybe decoupling from other fishery management plans, specifically or especially the groundfish plan. And then, as you saw in one of my earlier slides, there was really poor attendance for the New Bedford listening session, and that was noted due to a good fishing window for weather. And then there are some suggestions that any analyses done for in the future should really account for changes in the fisheries overall. As I mentioned, skates used to be a trash fishery, but now it's being targeted, and those should be accounted for. So the Mid-Atlantic will receive a similar report we're anticipating during their August meeting, but monkfish was brought up during their meeting last Thursday under the executive director's report, and they passed a motion that reads, the council collaborates with the New England Fishery Management Council to develop a letter to NIMS Scarafo requesting additional information on the effectiveness of current harbor porpoise take reduction plan measures and whether modifications could reduce negative socioeconomic impacts on relevant fisheries, and that would be consistent with the concerns raised during the most recent listening sessions. So that is a motion for you all to consider. But that is all I have. I will note that we drafted individual meeting summaries for each of those listening sessions, and those are available in your council binder materials for today. So I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Couture. To the council, any questions or comments on the listening sessions presentation? Mr. Alexander, and then Mr. Platts.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. I know I went to the one in Portland, and there was a couple of people that were interested in the ITQ. Did you hear any more of that up and down the coast, or? Because that was the first I'd heard of anybody saying that they were interested in that ITQ.
The topic of ITQ came up probably for many of the meetings, but it was more in regard to concern that ITQ will keep coming up, and they wanted to kind of get ahead of it and wanted to raise issues to be considered if it should be moved forward. So this is a concern, particularly on Long Island, where they wanted to get their feedback in just in case this comes up in the future. But we tried to relay that it's discontinued, it's not moving forward, and it would have to come up again later in the future if it should.
Go ahead, Terry.
How much support was there from managing the northern area different than the southern area?
Very mixed support. I didn't really hear consistent feedback on whether the northern, like you mean for the stocks to be continue to be managed separately or together with skates, or?
Up in the north, it's mostly a trawl fishery, and we're very happy with the way it is right now. We're catching our quota up here. The south is not, because of latent effort, you know, because nobody's, you know, because we get to count those days as we're allocating days. So totally different fishery down there than what we have up here, and it's all, whenever they talk, I'm like, that's rough down there, for sure.
Yes, I definitely heard that, and I think there was mention of the new research for one genetic stock for monkfish and how to grapple with that, and if that should indeed change management, which it doesn't necessarily have to. And then I heard some preference towards potentially combining the southern monkfish stock with skates, and also preference for just combining both of the fishery management plans, which would then loop in the northern part for northern stock for monkfish. So kind of heard the full gamut of ideas and no consistency. I don't know if Scott or Matt heard anything differently.
Mr. Ovchesky.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Ms. Kutcher, you know, spoke to it well. I think you hit it right on the head, Terry, is that the North is performing well, and they're fine, you know, status quo, more or less. And I think to Jenny's point, there was a lot of just open dialogue, just, you know, throwing everything out there. But I don't really remember anything definitive, you know, to move forward with, so.
Mr. Gates?
Yep, I'll just reiterate those same things. Northern area seems people are pretty satisfied, or at least the fishery's performing as you'd expect it to, and a lot of mixed signals from this more southern area with different ideas on how to improve it, but nothing consistent.
All set, Terry. Mr. Platts.
Yeah, just a comment, really. You know, going forward, when you're getting these comments and inputs from fishermen, particularly on skate, it would be helpful if you had them identify themselves, if you can't do it yourself, to know whether they're a bait skate fisherman or a winter skate fisherman. Distinctly different views coming out, but when the comments are brought out or presented in a generalized fashion, they lead in all kinds of directions that are misleading, because a bait skate fisherman probably wants, definitely wants things that are different than what a winter skate fisherman. But one simple example would be, I have never heard any monk fishermen or winter skate fishermen say they don't want to see those stocks managed together. Now, I know that there are bait skate fishermen that are concerned about change and are comfortable with the complex being managed together, whereas winter skate fishermen don't see it that way at all. So if we're just expressing comments by fishermen and not designating what their proclivity is, those comments can end up being very, very misleading, because we don't know from whence they came. And so in the future, it'd be good to mark where the commenter is coming from, because it explains a lot about their perspective. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Platts. Any further comments, questions on the presentation? Mr. Osherski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to speak to Ted's comment. Ted, I don't remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, any bait fishermen that attended any of the listening sessions, it was pretty clearly all, you know, skate, wing, and monk fishermen. So, and you know, the attendance is, that's what we received. Like, you know, we asked people to come out and talk and tell us their, you know, what their views were on how the fishery was operating. And, you know, I think the first couple of meetings we struggled to have any real participation, and we were lucky that the Mid-Atlantic fleets kind of showed up and they were rallied by a couple of council members as well, I think, to come and speak. So, but thanks.
Seeing no other comments or questions, I believe there's a motion to come forward from Mr. Roszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So considering the motion which passed at the mid meeting, I would like to move that the council collaborate with the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council to develop a letter to NIMS Garfo requesting additional information on the effectiveness of current harbor porpoise take reduction plan measures and whether modifications could reduce negative socioeconomic impacts on relevant fisheries consistent with concerns raised during the spring 2026 monkfish and skate listening sessions. And if I get a second, I will provide some rationale. Thank you.
Thank you. Looking for a second, Mr. Gates. Go ahead, Mr. Roszewski.
Sure. So last week, I think the mid heard and supported the same motion. And as Ms. Kocher reported, the majority of comments heard during the listening sessions revolved around difficult market conditions and protected resources. So in the last report of the Harbor Porpoise Take Reduction Team from June of 2024, the five-year estimated average bycatch was well below PBR and approaching the zero mortality rate goal. So the motion speaks to simply request additional information to determine if things like harbor porpoise distribution shifts, changes in gillnet effort, and low bycatch rates should be examined to potentially reduce impacts to skate and monk fisheries. Thanks.
Anything further, Mr. Gates? Okay. Motion on the board. Any comments or questions to the motion on the board? Seeing none, I'll go to the public. Any questions or comments from the public on the motion on the board in the room? Online? Back to the council? Seeing none, I will call the question. Is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Seeing none, any abstentions? One abstention. So this motion will pass with consensus with one abstention from the RA. Anything further, Mr. Roszewski?
That concludes the skate monkfish committee report. Other than I'd like to, you know, thank the council staff as well as some council members who took the time to make it to some or all of the listening sessions. So that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a couple quick things. I did want to speak, should ask you before, Dr. Hare, to prep for this. But over a year ago, I believe both councils had sent you a letter regarding potentially developing an observer program tagging study, a tagging program for bycaught sturgeon. You'd responded back in last August saying that at the time you couldn't get it up and running because you were getting the NEFOP port sampling contract together, but I think there was a target date of maybe having something in place by April. I was wondering if you can provide a status update on that.
Yeah, again, as our response letter said, we were focusing on the transition of the biological port sampling program to the center. That is in progress, and so I think I can talk with Ms. McCardle about when the center can pick that action back up. But we haven't started on that, just to be clear. Something to be done in the future.
Okay, thank you. And I assume the government shutdown kind of threw that monkey wrench in there for you.
There are a couple things.
I get you. Okay, thank you. Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. So I just wanted to follow up with the council to say that we have completed now our 2026 monkfish and skate priorities. One of them was the review of the CPUE work that was in our RSA program that was completed by a subpanel of our SSC. The other 2026 priority was to scope for an IFQ program. In April, the council decided not to do that and move forward with the listening sessions. And the motion that the council passed in April was that you approve the schedule of public meetings presented to serve as listening sessions to inform future priorities in 2027 and beyond for the monkfish and skate fisheries. From what was reported by staff and by the chairs of the monkfish and skate committees that attended the listening sessions, I didn't hear anything that rose to the surface that there was consensus around moving forward and setting additional management measure priorities for 2027. So I'd like to put that out there today that staff has talked. We do not feel that there is a need to gather the monkfish AP and committee this fall to consider 2027 priorities. We would be in a specification setting cycle in 2028 for both monkfish and skate. So just wanted to put that out there. We had talked about next steps after those listening sessions where the AP and committee would consider results from the listening sessions to inform priorities. But I think the major result was the motion that you just voted on, which is a request for the take reduction team to consider changes in harbor porpoise measures. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. So that concludes our monkfish skate report for the day. That actually concludes our day. Before you all run out of the room, before I adjourn the meeting, I just want to remind folks, public comment tomorrow at noon, Alex Dunn in the back, wave your hand again or email him. I will give you another reminder tomorrow morning. Just also, we will be shortly after we adjourn, we will go into our presentation to Mr. Aristide and Mr. Papalardo and thank you them for their service. And then we will be meeting in the bar area over there for our 50th anniversary of Magnuson Stevens. So if we can just get a couple things running, we'll go through into our adjournment now and we will do our presentations in about 2 minutes. Thank you. All right, well, since no one really left, let's just kick this off so we can get sooner to our 50th anniversary celebration. I'm going to start off with a recognition of Mr. Aristide. I have a letter on behalf of, apparently myself, with the help from the council, to present to you. Dear Pete, on behalf of the New England Fishery Management Council and its staff, I'd like to extend our sincere appreciation and gratitude for your 8 years of service as Connecticut State Agency Representative to the Council. Since first joining the Council in April 2018, you have brought a broad and valuable perspective to our work, strengthening coordination among state and federal partners and reinforcing the importance of both ecological and social and economic factors in fisheries management decisions. Council members and staff have benefited greatly from your expertise in the fisheries administration and resource management, which is grounded in nearly four decades of experience with the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. Over the past 8 years, you have been a member of our herring, whiting, monkfish, scallop, habitat, and ecosystems-based fishery management committees, as well as serving on the mid-summer flounder, scup, black sea bass committees. These committees have faced some remarkable challenges in your contributions assisting in ushering new management approaches. You have strongly supported revisions to bycatch measures for river herring and shad species, and you have contributed to analyses related to scallop fishery access on the northern edge of Georges Bank. As director of the DEEP Fisheries Division, you have represented Connecticut's interests and helped the Council navigate many challenges and successes while maintaining a strong commitment to the stewardship of public resources. Additionally, your leadership and service through organizations such as the Northeast Fisheries Administrators Association, the Connecticut River Migratory Fish Restoration Cooperative, and the Connecticut Institute of Water Resources Advisory Board have demonstrated your commitment to conserving aquatic resources throughout the Northeast. Your career spanned marine and inland fisheries programs, giving you a unique understanding of the connections among aquatic ecosystems, fisheries resources, and the communities that depend on them. Over the past 8 years, your thoughtful contributions, steady leadership, and collegial approach to the have earned the respect of fellow council members, agency partners, and stakeholders alike. You have served as a mentor to facilitate a smooth transition of the Connecticut State Representative to the council, and we look forward to the continued work with Mr. Gates. We are grateful to the expertise you have shared and the dedication you have shown to the council's mission and to the suitable management of New England fisheries resources. Congratulations on this milestone, and thank you for your continued service to the council, the state of Connecticut, and the fisheries resources of the region. Thank you. I'd like to open up the floor to anyone on the council or in the public that would like to speak on behalf of Peter. Mr. Benton.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Peter, congratulations and just an appreciation for your years of service. Recognizing that, you know, the state agency representatives to the council sit in a very unique and often very difficult role, wearing multiple hats. You know, you come and you sit around the table and you have a vote. And so as an individual, you have your perspectives, you have your views, you have your desire to see things go the way you think they should go. But of course, you're also a regulator working for a state agency with direction that you get from your bosses. And then you also have your constituents, the fisheries that you represent, and your communities that you represent. And I think you have done a truly admirable job over the last, you know, 8-9 years, serving those multiple functions with distinction and with efficiency and with great poise. Thank you.
Anyone else? To Peter Erstad. Mr. Lucy.
Yeah, Pete. I worked with Pete for a number of years before I got involved with the council on the Connecticut Fish Advisory, and he was always really good at keeping a calm tone, juggling multiple issues at all times, both from above and from the user groups. You kind of get pinched from both sides when you're in your position. But it's been a pleasure working with you, and I hope you don't retire anytime soon from your other job.
Peter, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, only because you called on me, Mr. Chair. So, no, I appreciate the kind words. It's been a really quick 9 years. You know, I walked into this not really knowing what I was doing. I think I've learned a little bit over the years, but I still feel like somewhat of a novice in this management realm. I was at my first meeting in this room. You know, I looked at the agenda and I'm paying attention to it, I think, but of course I had my laptop, I'm multitasking, and Chairman Quinn at the time called a vote and my name was the first one, and I'm like, oh crap, what do I do now? So I spent a lot of time at, you know, in my community serving on like a land use board. I did it for years and was always proud of the fact that I never abstained on a vote. And when he called my name, I'm like, I'll abstain. And I'm like, I better start paying attention, because I didn't see that one coming. But I really appreciate the process. I know there are folks, you know, out in the world who, you know, find reason to criticize, you know, the means that we manage fisheries, you know, under Magnuson and the way we're set up. But, and I understand some of the concerns when folks don't get what they're looking for, but it truly is a unique process. It's not perfect, but it's really good. And I've learned a lot of respect for people around the table that come from a place other than me. Commercial fishermen, recreational fishermen, members of the NGO, environmental NGO community, you know, folks from academia, federal agencies. So it's all good stuff. Keep up, you know, the great work you're doing. I will say that even though we're passing the baton over to Matt full time, moving forward after, you know, midsummer or so, You'll be in really good hands. He's chaired Monkfish. He's been heavily involved in scallops. I think a lot of what Dan had read earlier are actually should be credited to Matt anyway. I actually haven't filed my retirement paperwork yet. I think my time span for, moving out of the agency is probably somewhere between December and next May. But, like a lot of other people before me, it can be a difficult decision, and I don't want to make a snap judgment. So I'm still here. But again, thanks for the kind words and doing all the good stuff you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Up next is Mr. Pappalardo. Dear John, on behalf of the New England Fishery Management Council and its staff, I'd like to extend our sincere appreciation and gratitude to your exceptional service and leadership spanning more than two decades as a council member, council chair, committee chair, and representative of New England commercial fishermen and fishing communities. Your enduring contributions to the sustainable management of New England fisheries, resources, and traditions is unmatched in the history of the council. Since first joining the council in 2002, you have been a leading voice during a period of profound change in fisheries management. During your first term from 2002 to 2011, including 5 years as council chair, you helped guide the council through the implementation of the reauthorized Magnuson-Stevens Act, oversaw the development of the ground fish sector program through Amendment 16, and ushered in scallop rotational management and IFQs. Following your reappointment in 2015, you continued to provide thoughtful leadership, deep institutional knowledge, and a steadfast commitment to supporting and maintaining the diversity of New England fisheries communities. Notably, your work on Omnibus Habitat Amendment 2, ecosystems-based fisheries management, and the herring harvest control rules pushed the Council towards a more holistic management approach in considering the full ecosystem from the seafloor to the vessel deck to the dinner plate. Your deep-rooted background in commercial fishing, community engagement has helped to ground the council and its work. You've been a staunch advocate for science-based management approaches and an innovator in applying emerging scientific concepts into management options. You have served on nearly all council committees and chaired most of them as well. You're the first chair of the recently formed Climate and Ecosystem Steering Committee, lending your leadership and expertise to the council's initiative to develop climate-resilient management measures. You've been a member of the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee and as a U.S. delegate to NAFO, helping the council negotiate with international partners and representing the New England on the Council Coordinating Committee, bringing our regional perspectives to a national audience. As a long-standing member and leader of the Council's Executive Committee, you have supported the overarching goals of the Council and the transition of Council leadership. You have served as a mentor to newly appointed Council members and a friend to all who have served with you. You have been a distinguished Council member on every level, and we know you will stay engaged, and we look forward to continuing the friendships that you have built over the decades. We will truly miss having you at the table and wish you all the best. Thank you. I'll open up the floor. Mr. Pantney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, so this is on behalf of everybody at GARFO that you've worked with over the many years. So there's a lot of us that are having a hard time imagining a New England Council without you, without John Pappalardo around the table. Preparing for, attending, participating in 100 New England Council meetings certainly requires a level of patience and dedication and maybe a touch of masochism. Throughout your tenure, you've provided more than just expertise. You've provided institutional memory and a moral compass that has guided many of the Council's most difficult decisions. John, you've always demonstrated a steadfast commitment to the fishing community. And by community, I think you've always encompassed the broadest sense of the word. Commercial fishermen, coastal communities, recreational anglers, environmental advocates, and those of us sitting around the table charged with making difficult decisions. Your impact cannot be measured solely by the number of meetings you've attended or council actions that you've helped pass. It's measured in the mentorship you've provided to new council members, agency and council staff, and future fishing industry advocates. It's measured in the bridges you've built between differing viewpoints and your substantial contributions to our collective mission of healthy fish stocks and healthy fishing communities. Your service is a testament to the idea that progress may be slow, but it's always worth the effort when done with integrity. Because of your work, this council and our process are stronger today than when you were first appointed all those years ago. So on behalf of NOAA Fisheries and the Greater Atlantic Regional Fisheries Office, I want to say a heartfelt thank you for your many years of service to the New England Council, and we wish you nothing but the very best in all your future endeavors.
Ms. Griffin.
Thank you. It's hard to see John from my angle. John, I've worked with you. I've had the pleasure of working with you my entire professional life, a quarter century now, from the State Marine Fisheries Commission to the New England Council. And as Mike just said, in many ways, you've been a mentor. Your insatiable curiosity, your probing questions, they're always exploring what could be. And because of that, you've had a transformative effect, not just on your Cape Cod community, not just at our table, throughout New England, nationally and internationally. My one complaint had been never delivering on your promise to over the years to bring me your homegrown horseradish, but you delivered on that promise when I had a plant at the committee table last week, and that was very much bittersweet because it really meant you meant it this time. You were really going away. I hope you leave this week with sweet memories of your council family. Congratulations on all your care and commitment to our fisheries, but especially those men and women who are and will continue to be the heart of our fishing communities. I'll miss you.
Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And John, thank you for over 20 years of service to this council and the folks that it represents. I could talk a while to sort of cover all the things that you have accomplished in your time here and the things that you have taught me, but I know you don't want to hear that, and I know I'm between us and happy hour, so I'm going to try to keep it brief here, but I just really want to say how much I appreciate your ability and really your commitment to think outside of the box and to push this council and the fishing community to think creatively and boldly about ways that we could manage our fisheries better. You know, that's the way we do it is never a satisfactory answer for you, and you always push the rest of us to sort of think what could be, not sort of what is. And, you know, you came up with sectors before sectors were a thing, and you built a permit bank down there to protect access for your community, and the work that you did on the EBFM plan and elsewhere here in the council arena to just say, look, we can rethink how we're doing these things. Let's not lock ourselves in. Was just a few examples of that. So I just want to thank you for that. And I know it wasn't always well received in this room or down on the Cape, but you always showed up prepared. You always were respectful of other people's opinions when they differed from you, and you were always fiercely devoted and committed to the communities you represent and the fisheries they depend on. And so I just want to thank you for that, to thank you for being a mentor to me and a friend over all these years, and wish you well in next course in your journey. And around here, you will be missed but never forgotten. So congratulations and good luck to you, John.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. John, on behalf of staff, I want to just thank you from the bottom of my heart. You call me weekly and check in on me, and you also check in on the entire staff and ask how the crew is doing, how's morale, how overworked are they right now. You think about us. That means a lot. You also call to tell me to stop working, go out, get in the garden, get some sun, give it a break. You've been a huge support in the last 3 years to me. That has just meant so much. This is a hard job that I took, and I had a big learning curve and some big shoes to fill, and you've taken a very sort of gentle approach with me to help me learn and make me feel very supported, and you do that for the entire council staff. So I think the hardest part of my job is the leaving, is the people leaving. I've only been here a short time, and just when I start to get close, somebody terms off. I will dearly miss you. We'll stay in touch, and I just want to thank you very, very much on behalf of our staff.
From the audience, Dan McKiernan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a pleasure to be here today. I just want to share some memories with you. When John first came on the scene in Cape Cod, there was a local newspaper account. This kid from nowhere who used to work for Greenpeace was coming to Cape Cod to start an organization called the Hook, or the Cape Cod Commercial Hook Fishermen's Association. And I looked at that and said, oh, Jesus, what are we getting into? But he was, he joined our Marine Fisheries Advisory Commission, and he was thoughtful, he was creative, and as Jeff said, he really thought outside the box, and he did a great job of working with our commission. And I don't know, our commission is kind of like the farm team for the council, right, Mike Pierdenock? So John was appointed to the council after a pretty intense campaign. I remember seeing signs being carried around Faneuil Hall in Boston. It was kind of crazy. And he quickly rose to prominence on this council after just a few years. And I know it takes all of you a while to figure it out, but Jesus, John was in that chair seat pretty quickly, which was a real accomplishment because John was representing the small boats in what I think is a big boat state. New Bedford, Gloucester, and Boston, but John is Big John, so I'm sure that helped with his ability to kind of fill that void and compete with the big dogs. He was succeeded by Tom Dempsey from his organization, and then Tom bailed on him, so we had to bring John back to the table for his 10th and 11th year. I see 11 years up here, but I think the real number is 20. And he wound up serving almost 7 terms here at the council. Pat Fiorelli once called Phil Coates, who served on this council almost 20 years, which would probably be neck and neck for being a record, but she used to call him a silverback. And so I think John has silverback status at this point. And certainly, like one of the elders, I know I speak to John as Melanie does, and we really appreciate his guidance and his wisdom. And I also want to mention, he throws a great party. The annual Hooker's Ball is just an amazing event that really promotes the not only his organization, but commercial fishing at large. And it is just a wonderful event, and I hope many of the members of the council have a chance to do that this year and in the future. So congratulations, John, and thank you for all of your service.
Any other members of the public, either here in the room or online? Seeing none, I'll kick it over to you, Mr. Pappalardo, if you'd like to say something.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. I've done this once before, as you know. My memory of the last time was we were at a luncheon, I think, in Portsmouth, and over subpar turkey and ham sandwiches, I think I said a few things. But knowing today was coming, I did take the liberty of writing a few things down. So some of this has been said by others, but I'm just going to read it. So my first council meetings were before the Sustainable Fisheries Act passed in 1996. As you know, I joined the council in 02, and then I was chairman when Magnuson was amended in 07. So I've been around long enough to remember, though, that we used to have a stenographer that would sit in the corner, and we had to wait a couple weeks to get the proceedings of the meeting we had all sat through. And then nobody had any computers or laptops on the table in front of them, and there was no texting. So people would commonly come up from the audience and drop notes in front of council members. I also was reflecting, and I'm pretty sure that I've accumulated one of the better private collections of hotel Wi-Fi passwords along the interstates of New England. So sure, I've changed over the years, and you would expect that. You stay long enough in a place, and you begin to see the complexity, the trade-offs, and really importantly, how clearly, how many people you affect with the decisions you make at this table. Now, I should admit that I've always had a tendency to think in terms of change and improvement. Some people would probably say I'm a little too blue sky minded, and I understand that. You know, when there's a crisis at hand, and we've had plenty at this table, talk about systems, structure, and process, or what the fishery might need in 10 years feels like a distraction for many. But I still believe somebody has to be thinking at that level. Somebody has to be looking out a decade or more. If nobody's doing that, we spend all our time reacting and almost no time preparing. So for me, my core hasn't changed very much. I take this work seriously. I use good science. I listen to the people closest to the resource. And when the facts change on the ground, I'm willing to change with them. I do believe in science. I believe in better data. But I've also learned we're never going to science our way out of all of the problems we have. Better science can help us understand these problems, but it doesn't remove uncertainty and it does not replace judgment. That belongs here at this table. So you need some humility to do this work. You need to maintain your integrity. And you need people willing to help each other out and support the partners carrying the load with us. And we need more flexibility built into our management plans by design. Not only when things break, but by design. We have to build it into our plans. You know, the decisions are not getting easier for us. The fish are moving, conditions are changing. Fishing communities are under increasing pressure. The world continues to move faster than our process is built to move, and trade-offs are constantly being contemplated. But one thing I hope this council is willing to do in the years ahead is to use the Inflation Reduction Act work, not just to improve our decision-making inside our current setup, but to ask whether parts of our fishery management plan structure and permit structure still fit the job in front of us. Not because the past was wrong, but because the fisheries we are managing may not look like the fisheries those structures were built to support. And I had to say the next thing. The council does not have to invent all of this from scratch. We already have work on the shelf, including the fishery ecosystem plan. That could help us think more broadly and build more flexibility into the way we manage. I also want to say plainly that I believe the executive director and her team are already doing this hard work of trying to modernize the system and this process. I have the utmost confidence in her and the team around her, but that work is heavy. And she will need the support and trust of this council if it's going to take effect. So it's been a privilege to work and learn alongside you guys, the professional staff of the council, and our partners. Because I know without them, nothing happens. I also want to recognize our federal and state partners and the many, many people on the SSC and the advisory panel who volunteer their time and help us all carry the work. Mostly, I just want to say thank you.
I don't know how to close this out. Once again, I do want to thank you, Peter and John. I think my interaction with the both of you over the years has been more on the side conversation, outside, away from this table, particularly Peter, because you very rarely speak and I have to call on you all the time. John, obviously, you've given me a lot of good perspective over the years, particularly sitting in this role, which is a very unique role. But I want to once again thank you both for your commitment and your time and your efforts that you've put before the council. Thank you very much. With that, I think we got 20 minutes back from our agenda here. I tried. So 6 o'clock at the bar, but I'm sure the bar is open now for whoever wants to join there early. So thank you very much, and we will be back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thank you.